This is the Friday Morning Zine. Good morning. I'm Jeff Pope. Cider making has a long tradition in the apple orchards of the Four Corners area. And today on the Zine, we're talking with three folks who are involved in making cider for themselves and have looked at the opportunities for commercial applications. Cap Allen is here along with Jared Scott and Mary Beth Garmo. Welcome to all three of you.
Thanks.
Hi.
Nice to have you here. Cider, we have a lot of apple trees around here. And Cap, you've been in the area for a long time, Southwest Colorado. Has it? Have you always known that there were this many apple orchards when you first moved here?
Well, you keep discovering them every day as you drive around. But once you've read a little bit about the history of the area, at what one time in the late 1800s, there was the perception that this area actually would be sort of an apple capital, and that. That's when a lot of the older trees were planted, and the idea that when that production ramped up, a lot of the area in the country would be supplied. And various stories point to why that didn't happen. Transportation may be one of the most important. Other areas that developed were near railroads and better transportation hubs. But the impetus for those original orchards being planted back in the 1800s was that this was a very good apple-producing area and produced high-quality apples.
In your experience, is this still a good apple-producing area? I mean, it's not Washington, and you know, with the mega business of agriculture, corporate agriculture, but can we still get a good crop here?
It's a different level, a different scale. I think it more fits the local agriculture kind of model. All you need to do is take a trip to Yakima, Washington, or Wenatchee, Washington, to see what the real world's all about in that regard. But that doesn't mean this area can't do it. I think at the bottom, a locally grown organic apple, once you've eaten one of those, you have a very hard time buying one on the supermarket.
Can't go back. If you've just joined us, this is the Morning Zine, and joined by Cap Allen, Jared Scott, and Mary Beth Garmo. They're all three involved in the business of making cider, whether that's a business or that's a passion. And I want to bring Mary Jo or Mary Beth and Jared in. You guys are, this is radio, so I get to describe who's in the room with me. You're at maybe one age of the, one end of the spectrum of age of being interested in apples, and Cap is at the other end. So how did you young people get involved in passion about apples and cider?
Well, we've been brewing beer at home for about 6 years now, and over that time, we've just been dabbling in cider making. And since moving here, we're surrounded by apples. It's great. I mean, our neighbors have apples. We have apples. And so this year, we really got into pressing our own apples and making cider. And then we met up with another couple, Martha and Dusty, who were trying to start a commercial cider operation and are now working with them to produce on a larger level, hopefully.
Commercial cider, is that alcoholic, non-alcoholic?
That'd be both? Alcoholic,
Okay. And can it be done elsewhere? I mean, you can have regular presses as well, right?
Yeah, there's just different regulations on commercial, like juice it would be versus alcoholic cider, and we've just decided to go the alcoholic route.
Yeah, there's a book sitting on the table in front of you called The New Cider Making Handbook. But cider making in this country is an old tradition. And Cap,
it's a very old tradition. At the sort of beginning of this country, 1700s, 1800s, hard cider, and I think maybe a little quick digression here is in order. The word cider, as used in the United States, generally most people think that's apple juice. We're about the only country that uses that word to apply to apple juice. When you say cider in England, France, Canada, what you mean is an alcoholic drink that has been fermented. And the other stuff that people call cider routinely here is apple juice. But the history of cider making is very old, and I don't want to necessarily go back into those years. But in this country, up into the middle of the 19th century, it was the prime drink. And they're all, I could go on and on about that. There are all sorts of anecdotes about John Adams, when he was president, drinking a flagon of hard cider for breakfast. Children drinking it routinely, even with the alcohol in it, because the alcohol protected against disease. If there was, there was a lot of superstition about drinking water at one time in the world, and rightly so, because rightly there were diseases in it.
Yeah, but a kid with a buzz is better than a kid with Giardia.
Right. And that probably the last thing about history I would say is really that's what Johnny Appleseed was all about. Johnny Appleseed went around the early West, which was really the American Midwest, Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, and planted these trees, which he sold to farmers. And the farmers really didn't want apples. They wanted to be able to make hard cider.
And making hard cider was a way of maintaining your wealth. I mean, you had a product that would keep. It wouldn't spoil, and you could sell it to somebody else, right?
That may, in fact, be one of the a bigger motivation than the alcoholic content, is the fact that you've got a drink that's in barrels around your farm that is not going to go bad on you.
So there's a little bit of the history. And Jared and Mary Beth, the book you have in front of you is the New Cider Making Handbook. What is the ethos behind making cider these days? Go ahead, Jared.
Yeah, well, I think this book, it's new. It came out in 2013. And the author, Claude Jolicoeur, he's French-Canadian, and so he's here in North America. And a lot of the books that are out there are from the United Kingdom. And what's interesting about cider is that in the United Kingdom, they actually have cider varieties, so of apples. So these apples, they have higher tannin levels. They're not necessarily good for eating. However, in North America, we have an abundance of dessert apples. So this new cider maker's handbook actually goes through the different varieties, some of the more common dessert varieties that are here in North America that are good for cider making. And he also goes into some of the more specific cider varieties.
So are you saying that dessert apples are not ideal for making cider?
Well, it seems that some varieties are not as good. They'll create a very thin, dry cider, and which may not be desirable to some people's palates. And like I had mentioned, some of the cider-specific varieties, they have a higher tannin level, which would then increase the body or the thickness of the cider that you're drinking and maybe add some more flavors to that as well.
Around here, do we have more dessert apples? Let me ask it differently. Are we in a position to grow or press cider that is quality cider that's not thin that can be interesting?
One thing that's interesting about this area is that some of the apple trees that are here, they're very, very old, and we don't know what varieties they are. And some of these varieties, they were planted before Prohibition when people were making cider, hard cider, to drink. And so there might be some very good apple varieties that we don't know what they are just yet that will be great for making cider. And so I'm sure that Cap could go into detail on some of the dessert varieties that are great for making cider around here. He had mentioned some earlier before this show.
Hey, Cap, what are some of those that are working for you?
Well, I've got about 12 varieties of apples in our orchard, and it's just been experimentation. Certainly, it doesn't come with an instruction manual, and so you have to just try different mixes. But there are certainly some varieties of apples, and my opinion is that really the best success is the apple that tastes the best before you crush it is really the apple that makes the best cider. Now, what tastes the best is a very subjective statement, but in general, my experience is boring apples don't make very good cider.
If you've just joined us, this is the Friday Morning Zine, and joined by Cap Allen this morning. Jared Scott and Mary Beth Garmo. We're talking about cider, making cider, where it comes from, the history of it here in our region. And when we come back after the break, we'll continue our conversation. Stay with us. This is the Friday Morning Zine. Good morning. I'm Jeff Pope, and I'm joined by Cap Allen, Jared Scott, and Mary Beth Garmo. We're talking about cider, making cider, and implied in this idea of making cider in the Four Corners area, the history of it, and the folks that are doing it now, and all three of the people in the room with me are making cider. Much to my dismay, nothing came to the studio this morning, but we'll rectify
we'll fix that.
Yeah. Implied in this is the idea that there's an economic possibility for apples, cider, or even the sale of apples here locally. And Jared, I want to ask you about the apple economy and why you think that's possible.
Yeah, so in Montezuma County, we have an abundance of apple orchards here that are not in commercial production right now. Many of the orchard fruits, the apple fruit just goes and it falls to the ground and it rots and it's eaten by the livestock that are grazing in those orchards. And no one's really eating it. No one's really making cider from it. And so one thing I'd like to see is to these orchards to go back into production. There is a market for this fruit. If you look at the Front Range, the cider industry is booming right now. There's a cider company there that's buying apples on the Western Slope near, I guess it's near Hotchkiss and Grand Junction area. And we are on the Western Slope. We can produce great fruit here. And if we can get these orchards back into production, we could start selling these fruit to the cider companies that are starting in this state.
What are the barriers to getting back into production and getting the fruit out of here to where the demand centers are?
Yeah, I think some of the barriers are when you're thinking about apple producing is there's some work involved. You need to prune your trees. You need to make sure that they're getting enough water, which we have plenty of water here in the county. You need to take care of them. One thing that's great about cider is you don't have to worry so much about having excellent fruit. You can produce good cider with fruit that has worms and has been attacked by the coddling moth, which a lot of our apples do. So that's what's great about making cider is that it doesn't have to look absolutely perfect.
The cider... So if you could take apples that are less than, is there a demand for apples that haven't been sprayed with herbicides, pesticides, from you said on the Front Range? But I've read there's cider demand all over the country. The demand is gone up a lot. So I guess the word I would say is organic or things that are not sprayed. Is there demand for those? Because that's where. I mean, a lot of these old orchards are in that condition.
Well, I think the demand for, no spray type fruit would be is if you're producing apples for cider making, occasionally you're going to get a perfect fruit, like an apple that'll look perfect, which is something that you could sell at the farmer's market. And if you market it as no spray or organic methods, people will want to buy that. So I think that would be a good part of this, getting these orchards back into production. When it comes to cider making, that we'll see what the market decides on whether or not they want to see organic hard cider or not.
A couple questions as we wrap up, and I want you guys to come back because there's so much to talk about in this. First of all, how much are you pressing? What's your production level right now, Cap?
My production level is very low. It could be a lot higher. My orchard has about 1,500 apple trees, and the tonnage that's produced in those trees, it's really a shame because we don't have the market, and I have you pick people that go in. I make as much cider as I can. We do a little farmer's market activity. But there's a giant potential there to use many, many tons of apples. I know it's a difficult term to hear apples described in terms of tons, but when you're making lots of cider, that's the kind of word you use. And I think there's a great potential in this area for the quantity we need if that whole program can be developed. It's not easy. You have to have a business plan. You have to have the equipment for it, and you have to develop the market. But it's there.
And how much cider are you guys developing locally or testing out?
This year, it was not a very good apple year in our area, so we're only at a few hundred gallons, and right now we're just doing test batches with that few hundred gallons. Last year, there was a huge crop of apples in our area, and we could have gone into the 1,000-gallon range. Yeah, because apples, they tend to be on some years are good years and some years are not good years.
Okay. And Mary Beth, is there a sense that there's a demand for cider here locally? I mean, that individuals could produce small batches and market it? Or is the idea that we need to come together with a co-op that can take lots and lots of apples and press it for a larger demand either someplace else or here locally?
I think the biggest barrier in that is if you're looking at the alcoholic ciders, then you need to have the licensing and that kind of thing to be selling the hard ciders. So in that regard, probably a co-op would be a better situation so that we could have one entity that would get the liquor license, which is a pretty involved process. If you're looking on more of the juice level, again, there's still restrictions with that in commercial kitchens, and you need to clean your equipment in certain ways and stuff like that. But I think overall, some sort of co-op, larger entity would be the best method to actually get that done and to get a larger production going.
Give me an idea of the scale. Like, how many tons of apples would a company need to produce sort of like the level of a microbrewery? You know, the kind of, here in Cortez, you know, in the county, we've got a number of them. I mean, how many apples would you need? How many tons, Cap?
It's wherever you want to take the numbers. With my machinery, I get about 3 gallons of cider out of a bushel of apples. And it's pretty hard. That's how much juice apples have. It's pretty hard to do much better than that. You might get 3.5, 4 gallons. A bushel's 40 pounds. So you just have to extrapolate that. How many bushels are there in a ton? And they're really, for any ambition in this area for the production of hard cider, there would be no limit, at least for years and years, because the tons we've got are in the hundreds and thousands of tons in the area available compared to, you know, what production could handle.
So if the fruit could be produced and brought to market or brought to the press, you feel like locally you could certainly meet the demand. Is that what I'm hearing?
You could certainly meet the demand locally, but I think it's a boutique business.
Yep.
And if you produce a product that's desirable, I think it's really not a local issue. I think it's, I don't know, I think of something like in Fort Collins, New Belgium Brewery, who has started off as a very small little niche business, but he's figured out how to be a large business but still be sort of a niche specialty product. And I think that potential is there for sure, making hard cider in this area.
Well, that's all the time we've got today for the Zine. I want to thank you all for being here. That's Cap Allen. You were just hearing from Jared Scott's here along with Mary Beth Carmel. They're all involved in the cider business here in the Four Corners area, trying to ramp it up and get it going. Thank you all for coming in, and I hope you'll come back again with some updates, and hopefully we'll have a great crop this year.
Yes, yeah, thank you.
Thank you.